Nothing like technical difficulties. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. I can honestly tell you there's nowhere else I would rather be tonight. Yes, I did say it would be nice to have a white Christmas. Rethinking that a little bit, but nonetheless, we're all here and glad we could be here indeed. It is Christmas Eve. Most usually we turn to Luke chapter 2 or maybe the Gospel of Matthew. Tonight I've decided to do things a little bit differently. I know for those of you who know me, you're surprised by that. But tonight I want us to actually look at a psalm, and specifically Psalm 96. I've chosen Psalm 96 tonight for one specific reason, and it's because of the subject matter found in Psalm 96. The subject matter is worship. Worship. And tonight I pray that we are all here to worship. This is a psalm about celebration, and I think that is a perfect theme to discuss for Christmas Eve. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like, turn with me to Psalm 96. And I'm going to read it in three parts, actually. I'm not going to read the whole thing all at once, as is usually my practice. This time I've not decided to be different. I'll speak for a little bit, we'll look at the scripture, and then we'll sing for a little bit, and we'll carry on that way. So I'm going to read for you from Psalm 96 tonight, and I'm going to read for you verses 1 through 6. In Psalm 96, 1 through 6, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." There's three sections in this psalm, and each section begins with an imperative, telling us something to do. The first one is a call to sing. Three times in 1.5 verses it says, "Sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord." In this psalm we find a call to sing to the Lord. Now, I know some people don't like music as much as other people, but when it comes to Christians, God commands us to sing. That's why people come to church and we sing in praises to the Lord. Some people find that a little bit odd at first when they come and we sing. But one of the reasons we sing is because God tells us to sing. And for someone who wishes to worship God, singing is a natural outpouring of a heart that loves the Lord. Now, for some reason, I don't just know exactly why, but for some reason at Christmas time, it's not hard to get people to sing. Now, I don't know, maybe it's because the carols are very familiar, maybe it's because people are very festive at this time of year. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but for the Christian, all year long is to be just like Christmas. We ought to sing to the Lord because God tells us to sing to Him in worship, not once, not twice, but three times. But not only is this a call to sing, but I want you to notice that this is a call to everyone. Did you see how it began? It said, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth." All the earth. God calls on all of the earth. There's nobody excluded that call goes out to. He then calls us as God's people to tell of God's salvation from day to day, to declare His glory among the nations, to tell of His marvelous works among all the peoples. The call to worship God is not a call that is limited. We, as God's people, extend the call to worship God to everyone. There is not just one race. There is not just one country. The call to worship is not just for men or just for women. It's not just for people who dress a certain way. It's not just for people who like a specific style of music. It's not just for singles or for married or for boys or for girls or for white people or just for black people or brown people. The call to worship God goes out to all people. The invitation to celebrate Christ is to everyone. It is made to all the earth. This is why the church in the New Testament is called to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, to make disciples of all nations, to be Christ's witnesses in Acts 1:8, it says, to the ends of the earth. We call on everyone to worship God. When we look at the end time gathering of God's people, do you know what it says in Revelation 5, 9, and 10? It says, guess what? They sang a new song, saying, worthy are you, they're speaking to Christ, to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. God tells us in his word that he has called out worshipers for himself from all peoples. And so the call to celebrate Christ at Christmas time is a call that is made to everyone. But it's not just a call to everyone, but it is a call to worship God. That is what we're here for tonight. That's what the church is gathered for. Whenever we gather together, we gather to worship God. The problem, though, is that oftentimes, especially at Christmas, we worship other things. You'll notice in the text it talks about that. It says, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. Now, back in that day, the idols that they worshipped were little statues made of precious metals or objects like pillars made of wood. But today we have things that we worship other than God also. We worship pieces of paper with dead presidents on them. We worship possessions at this time of year, toys, you know, for the young and for the old. Sometimes decorations become quite a priority to us. Sometimes people can be known to worship a man in a red suit that comes around once a year. Sometimes we worship family or social gatherings. You know, all these things are not necessarily evil or inherently evil, but these things are never to take the place of God. Only God is to be worshipped because only God is worthy of worship. God has given us those things, and we are to enjoy those things, but never to put those things above God. God is to be first in our hearts, not only at Christmas, but all year long. You see, the psalmist says, only God is to be praised. Only God is to be feared. Unlike all idols, only God is strong and beautiful and great. And we want everyone to know that. We want everyone to know that God is great. And so we sing praises to him. We tell of his salvation and his mighty works. We tell of his salvation. We tell of his incarnation. That's when God became man. We tell of the crucifixion, when God became a sacrifice for his people. And we talk about the resurrection, that God is not dead, but he conquered death. And we want everyone to know that Jesus was born. And we want everyone to know why Jesus was born, so that he would be worshipped. Do you know how the wise men responded when they saw Jesus? Do you know why the wise men came to see Jesus? The scripture tells us, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Christmas time is a time of worship. And we invite all to join in singing to the Lord. We want everyone everywhere to worship God, for only he is worthy of worship. So we go to a place where many will hear, like, I don't know, for example, a mountain, and we tell of what Christ has done. Let's sing together. Go. Yes. I know we're Baptist, but we can clap. It's okay. The psalmist continues in verse 7. He says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. What I want us to notice there, first of all, is that this is a call to celebrate. It says, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. You see, this is what the Christian life is all about, is worship. It's a celebration. Now, for some reason, some people have a mistaken notion about what church is all about, don't they? I don't know if you talk to people like this, but oftentimes you talk to people and you get this feeling that they think that church is just like a never-ending funeral. and everybody wears black, and nobody smiles, and everybody looks down, and it's just not very fun. And then there's others who say, well, maybe I'll think about surrendering my life to Christ later, because for now I just want to have fun, as though if I trusted in Christ, I wouldn't be able to have fun anymore. How wrong such people have it. These are mistaken notions about what it means to follow Christ. Christ does not want to rob our fun. Worship is a celebration, and it is to be a joyful celebration. Worshiping God is about giving glory to Him. Do you know that when it talks about the end times when worship will take place for eternity with God's people, this is how it describes it. It says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be no mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is talking about the new heavens and the new earth. So there's no death, no mourning, no crying, and no pain. So much for the theory that worship is like a funeral, because there's none of the things that need to be there for a funeral. Worshiping God is all about a celebration, but it's not just any celebration. In the first section of the psalm, the psalmist called us to sing, not once, not twice, but three times. But in the second section, you notice there's another word that's repeated three times. Now, when something's repeated twice, you take note. When it's repeated three times, you really take note. Here it is, ascribe, ascribe, ascribe. You see, the call is to celebrate, but we must celebrate according to who God is. We must worship Him a right way. There is a right way and there is a wrong way to worship God. We see here that we need to ascribe to God, or we need to say things about God. We need to affirm things about who God is. We do not have the freedom to worship God as we like. I saw one little saying on Facebook and it said, "You worship God your way and I'll worship God His." Right? The point is that we can only worship God His way. And this makes perfect sense. Imagine with me if you went to a celebration, say, for example, a birthday party. And you went to your friend's birthday party. It was Frank's birthday party. And the cake is brought out with the candles blazing. And everyone starts singing, "Happy birthday to you." They sing, "Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear George. Happy birthday to you." And everybody's looking around and they're saying, "I thought it was Frank's birthday." If you come to celebrate Frank's birthday, the least you can do is celebrate him according to who he is, according to at least to know what his name is. And in the same way, if we've accepted God's invitation to worship him, we must worship him according to who he is. There's another three in this psalm. Three times it mentions the glory of God. It says, "Declare his glory among the nations." And then if you carry on down, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." You know what it means when it talks about the glory of God? It's talking about who God is. When we refer to the glory of God, we refer to who he is. Do you remember those of you in the text where the disciples saw the Jesus in his transfigured state and they gazed upon the glory of God? And do you know when they looked in the manger and they saw Christ, they saw God. They saw the glory of God. In this psalm, it talks some about who God is. It talks about his splendor, about his majesty, his strength, his beauty, his holiness, his righteousness, and his faithfulness. I mean, this and more is who God is. And so we worship him according to who he is. We celebrate who he is, and we celebrate what he has done. We celebrate the birth of Christ, because in the birth of Christ, as we look at Christ, we see who God is. We celebrate because he was born, he came to die and to raise, and he brought joy to all those who would repent of their sins and trust in him. People from all over the world he brought joy to. Let's stand together and sing. Now we've got one last section to look at here in this psalm of celebration. And it's verses 10 through 13 where it says, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then all shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. The last section of this psalm focuses on God's rule and his righteousness. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ, when the Son of God took on flesh by becoming a baby. But as we look at manger scenes, and we see, you know, the little baby in the manger, we go to plays and musicals where they portray what took place there, we must never forget that in the manger lay the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He never ceased to be the Son of God. He always was the Son of God and always will be the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And even as he lay in the manger 2,000 years ago, fully man, he was fully God. We must never forget that Jesus is the King. And as the King, he must be approached appropriately and worshiped according to his righteous rule. I noted earlier that the wise men came to worship Jesus. Yet do you remember how the shepherds responded when they first saw Jesus? Now, when they left, it says they left worshiping. But when they came, it says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. We began by noting that God's people are to invite everyone to worship Christ, but sadly, not everyone can and will answer the invitation. You see, the invitation is made to everyone, and anyone can come exactly as they are, but God is the righteous ruler, and if one is to come to worship him, they must come in the right way. And there's a problem. The problem is that God is absolutely holy and righteous, as the psalmist tells us, and we are not. We are sinners, and as such, it is impossible for us to please God as sinners. But there is a solution. There is a solution, and it began with God sending his Son. It began with the birth of Christ. Well, actually, it was thought up and began before then, but the plan of redemption, as we look in the manger, we see Christ who was sent to come to live a perfect life and to die a sacrificial death, taking the sins of his people upon himself, bearing the wrath of God that was due to them. And then he was taken from the cross and he was laid in a tomb for 3 days. And then he rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he reigns today. He reigns and rules over all today as the supreme Lord and King of Kings. And he commands all people everywhere to repent of their sins and trust in him. To those who would do that, he promises the hope and joy of eternal life worshiping him, a celebration that will never end. And this celebration is only possible because of Christmas, because of the birthday of a king. Let's sing together. Let me just briefly recap what we've learned tonight, and let me do it in reverse. These are three things that I pray that you go home tonight knowing. The first is that the baby born in a manger 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem was, is, and always will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, completely God and completely man, lived, died, and rose again to save a group of people for his purpose. His purpose is for his own glory, which leads to the second thing I pray you know, and that is that God is to be worshipped, not just once a year, not just in one season of the year, but God is to be worshipped always for who he is and what he has done. As God's people, we gather together to celebrate Christ at Christmas, but not just at Christmas. We gather together all year long to celebrate who Christ is. Finally, I hope that you know that our invitation as a church is to you and to the entire world to come join us in the celebration to worship Christ. The invitation is to you, everyone here tonight, to join in the celebration of worshiping who Christ is. But if you wish to join the celebration, there is something you must do. I said it once and I will say it again. You must repent of your sins and trust in Christ. You must see sin as an offense against God. And you must turn away from your sin. And you must depend completely upon Jesus. You must confess him as Lord and receive the gift of eternal life. If you have done this, or if you do this, your life is committed to worship Jesus Christ the Lord. Then along with the angels who sang that first Christmas day, and along with all of God's people, you can look into the manger and you can declare the glory of God, because you can see there in Jesus who God is, because Jesus is God. And we read in Luke's gospel, it says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" They looked into the manger and their response was, "Glory to God in the highest." I know we're going to be exchanging gifts tomorrow, but there is one gift that is greater than every other gift that you will ever receive, and it is the gift of eternal life, and it is found only in Christ. Let's stand together and sing one last time, "Hark the Herald." Thank you so much that we have a reason for this season, that we have a purpose for our gatherings to worship you, to celebrate who you are and what you have done, to think upon the preposterous, the insane, the mind-boggling truth that, God, you sent your Son to become man. And he was and is God and man. And we look into the manger and we celebrate your glory. And we look to the cross and we celebrate your glory. And we look to the empty tomb and we see your glory. And now we look forward to when Jesus will return and we will see the glory of God. Make us a people of worship, I pray. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of each one here tonight, that, Lord, you would convict them to see who you are and that you are to be worshiped, that each one would repent of their sins and trust in you and live lives of worship forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. We're so glad.